I'm joined by Shah Khan, the brother of British doctor Abbas Khan, who's been missing in Syria since disappearing in Aleppo in November. Shah, yesterday President Assad announced an amnesty. Presumably this raises your hopes that your brother will be pardoned as part of this deal.
Yes, I mean, we're kind of putting a lot of hope on the fact that the amnesty would include my brother as well. We've been told that it involves everybody who's been accused of any sort of aggression against the state, and we believe he's only being held on grounds of illegal entry, and given that he hasn't been classed as being doing anything else or accused of doing anything else, we dearly hope that he'll be released on those grounds. We kind of made that plea apparent to the Syrian regime.
What indications, if any, have you had from the Syrian government about the whereabouts of your brother?
Well, we've been pressing them now for the last couple of months since his release. And initially, we had no information whatsoever. But over the last 6 weeks or so, we've had a somewhat tacit admission from the government that they may well be holding him on the basis of illegal entry. Hopefully, he's alive and being treated well, we hope. The other thing is obviously that knowing that the government has him, we are hoping that they will, you know, have some sort of clemency and release him, like they've done with some of the other journalists that have been caught up in this in the conflict. There's been a number of American and German journalists released recently, and we've kind of pinned our hopes to the fact that they will see, kind of see the light and do the same with my brother, because he ostensibly gone there with completely innocent objectives to help the Syrian people. And we've been trying to outline that to the government, that his desire was to help all people, not just any one side.
Abbas Khan is the father of two small children. How is the family coping?
Well, obviously it's a situation of great stress at the moment. He's a father of a four-year-old and a six-year-old, and his wife is, you know, he was the main breadwinner for his family, so we've all had to pull together, and for his wife and my mother particularly, it's been an extremely strenuous time with trying to pull out all the stops, contact as many people as possible to try and get his release, to get any information about him, whether he was alive, whether he is dead. We had no information at all about that. And so the uncertainty of it all, and not having even heard from him in the past 4 months, has been exceptionally trying. But we cling to the hope that the regime will, or the government will, show some clemency towards him and expedite his release.
He must have been aware of the risks of going. Did you or anyone else sort of caution him against doing so?
Obviously, going to a place where there's active conflict, there's some degree of angst in the family and within him as well. But I think he saw the plight of the Syrian people, the number of people being displaced, and he saw himself as someone who had particular expertise. And I think when he went, the idea was to go just to the relief camps, which were all intents and purposes relatively safe, particularly for aid workers. But seeing the scale of the destruction for all people there, I think particularly those of children and some of the women that have been displaced, he was overcome. And he had planned to come home 2 days after he had been taken, so he's only going to be there for a few days longer. So everything was stable, but we don't know what happened. I think our feeling is that there was a certain degree of annoyance by the people that he was working with, that he was giving out free medical care and free medical equipment. And people had an agenda to make money from that. And so people may have kind of effectively grasped him up, for want of a better term.
I don't know if you're aware that yesterday more than 30 bodies were pulled out of Aleppo during a ceasefire. Seeing images like that must be very traumatic for the family.
Yeah, no, it's a harrowing experience, to say the least. Namely because, you know, apart from the slow drip of information that's come through, we've not physically heard from him. And therefore, there is a part of you that thinks, well, is he okay? Is he still alive? And the more we hear of executions by both sides or of just wanton destruction, those sort of things send a, you know, a chill down your spine that whether what we might be facing. So every day you kind of have to go with the hope that he's not amongst any of those individuals. And until we hear otherwise, we'll keep fighting and keep pressing for his release. And one just clings to the hope that he's okay.
Okay, sure. Good luck with the campaign. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.